Typically, in the summer, television ratings seem to dip a little bit. You see, you and I, perhaps avid television watchers we might be, are out in the evening for a walk or hopefully away on a lovely vacation, spending time outside, maybe watching the fireflies turn on their lights or the stars peek out. At least some of us are doing this. But I can imagine this particular week, there was, did you know, a spike in the summer dip of television watching? There were more commentaries read on the internet this week. There were more devices consulted for additional information. You see, this week, we all seem to watch a little closer, watch with a little bit of fear. What will happen on the Korean Peninsula? What will happen? How will all of our leaders, governmental, religious, business, respond to the events that have been going on around us, the ones that have become so insidious that we didn't even know they were a part, some of us, of our culture? We've been watching, where is the pain in our world this week? What's going on in Barcelona, or perhaps in Sierra Leone, or Nepal? It's almost as if we need the globe back out and look where everything is. We watched, you and I, not just to educate ourselves, but to hope against hope that God's way will overcome the brokenness and pain. We watched and we read and we prayed, and may we also act. Not just, but particularly because things seem inevitable and we want God's way to become inevitable. When the possible answers seem like just more of the same against the backdrop of resignation, we watched and the television ratings spiked as we did. This is the way of God's people. You see, we've been tracking along here in Genesis for the last 10 weeks, digging deeper into these stories of humanity and finding that we're in those stories as well. I'm so thankful for Pastor Shirley's message last week. If you didn't have an opportunity to experience it here in worship, go look it up on the website and listen to the testimonies that she shared with us. This week, we rejoin Abram in the middle of God's promise to keep covenant with Abraham that he would have as many descendants as stars in the sky. But you see, division seems to have clouded his view of the stars in the sky. Sarai thought that she would answer. You remember how this went. She thought she would answer God's covenant with inserting Hagar in the story. But this was not God's way forward. In fact, God, who has been with them all along, is with them in an incredible way in these chapters Judy read for us today. In the two chapters, we heard 32 verses have God's actions. God was really busy doing all kinds of things in 32 verses, actively speaking and giving direction, showing the way forward when it seemed impossible, when it seemed like, how is the covenant going to be kept? How are the promises going to be known? God continued to say, my way will be the way, even when the details don't make sense, even when the practical seems impossible, God's way is the way. 32 out of 42 verses we heard in which God is actively speaking. That's 75% approximately for the math teachers among us. Over 75% of time in their prayers, hearing the voice of God and still worrying, is it going to work out? Is it going to happen the way that God said it will? God unfolding blessing upon blessing, descendants numerous and prolific. Ultimately, you and I know how the story goes, the lineage of Jesus in there as well. But Abraham worried, and Sarah laughed. She argued with God there a little bit. Sarah laughed. Oh, yes, you did. Could they have imagined what God had in store? It was Paul's letter to the church at Rome when we get this language of hoping against hope. Paul gives it the first place, but you and I know exactly what it's like to hope against hope. When we're not sure how God's going to figure this out, when we think all of our desperation and all of our inevitability is going to win, hoping against hope is when we watch white supremacists on the news and say they've gotten a lot of attention. And you and I know that there needs to be an ultimate word of courage and love that gets more attention than any of that. Hoping against hope is standing strong on courage when we have no idea how it's going to work out. Exactly. On the strength of our baptismal vows, we remember this. Do you, we ask this of those being baptized and their parents, do you accept the power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they show up on the TV and in whatever forms they present themselves? We affirm that we do. And then the question becomes, how? Once you've affirmed yes, then how? Like Abraham and Sarah, we turn to God. God who had 75% of the activity and verse. We listen to God. In prayer, we bring our fears and our excitement. We pour out the vinegar first, so the oil can be full. We talk and we laugh and we listen. We bring ourselves to be moved and convinced that God is calling us, even us, to do and be who God has made us to be. We're in a time in which showing others that God has called us to respond matters so much, my friends. It was 75% in which Abraham and Sarah just listened to God. Are you spending, am I spending, that kind of time in prayer with God? You see, prayer is the glue of holding together hoping against hope. Prayer is that place where God strengthens and encourages us. Prayer is that place where the Holy Spirit moves in our lives to explore how we need to not just make vows, but be called into action. Prayer is the place where the Holy Spirit moves and nudges against those for whom bigotry is a native tongue. Prayer is not the absence of moving. Prayer is the necessary precursor, needs to be concurrent as we act, and the response after we've acted. Prayer is listening to where God is moving. So on this morning, what a gift it is that God has given us here at West Grove with a vision for the prayer bead garden and a commitment since February to see God's vision come into reality. After our time of offering, we will be processing out the back door and over to where the prayer garden will be, consecrating that ground, hoping against hope that God has more in store than we can see right now. As we process from the sanctuary to the prayer bead garden site, there'll be the light of an acolyte to lead us. This is intentional. Acolytes are light bearers who carry God's light in to the sanctuary and remind us that as we go out, God's light goes with us, that we are that light for the world. We are light bearers, not torch bearers, my friends, but light bearers of God's presence in this world. It reminds us that there is darkness, but the darkness will never overcome the light. You see, you and I continue to live this life of witness, whether we signed up for it or not. We are always shining in some way. Sometimes it's dull and seemingly unengaged. We'd rather no one be looking over this way at our witness. And sometimes shining bright as the solar eclipse is dark. Our prayer bead garden is that kind of a witness to our community and to our world. As people come for preschool and scouting, for AA meetings and 4-H, for CPR training and the times we share our space with the library, the prayer bead garden stands as a witness that we're listening here to where God is moving. As people rush by on Route 1, the prayer bead garden stands in direct contrast to the harried life that we have and calls us, like the treadmill does in the living room, back to what we've made promises to do. You see, the prayer bead garden is also a witness to ourselves, that Abraham and Sarah listened 75% of the time, took time to hear where God is moving and knew that God wasn't done quite yet. God's promises, my friends, are still being lived out. And we need to listen for our role and for our part. Hoping against hope is not passive or retreating. Hoping against hope is not giving up. It's a bold way of stepping into the life that God has called us to live, listening and living the incredible promises of God, and then offering ourselves for however it is that God wants to use even us to live out God's covenant here in this place, in West Grove and beyond. This, my friends, is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.